Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show. Today is the day you have
made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today 4 minutes past the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. In transition, as you just heard Bill Arnold moving to the afternoons, to the unnamed afternoon show with Bill Arnold from 3 to 5 Central Time. Looking forward to his conversations as he has just a unique camera angle and a special way of interviewing and interacting with guests. We're so appreciate Bill, and like many of you, we are going to miss him in the morning. There's just no way around it. I did an interview with him in the first segment. If you missed it, I am on record, and he verified that I did ask him to do the morning and the afternoons, and he somehow, Logan, didn't think that would work. He was pretty adamant that he didn't even have to pray about it.
I think if Bill drank that much coffee every day, his heart might stop much sooner than it should.
Yes, I think you're probably right. Our verse today, we're talking about love. Love is patient, is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Love never fails. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. You know it well from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be talking to Neil Stavem a little bit in the next half hour as we're going to be talking about some future ideas and plans for Faith Radio Mornings and how you can help us. And also, we're going to open up the phone lines. If you have a tribute you'd like to make to Bill, if you'd like to say thank you for his past 14, 15 months on the air at Faith Radio in the mornings, we'd love to hear from you. And plus, I'm going to pick Neil's brain a little bit, Logan. I had two weddings and an anniversary over the last 10 days. Neil is a father-in-law to son-in-laws. Now, I'm brand new at this, about a week old, and it just dawned on me that I've never, Jane's dad has been gone long, he had passed away when he was 40 years old. Jane was just in junior high. And so I never had a father-in-law, so I don't know what it's like to have one, mm-hmm. let alone be one.
That's an interesting perspective that you're asking Neil, like he has more experience than I do.
Neil has a lot of experience in that. We're going to find out what he knows or doesn't know in the next segment as well. Faith Radio Mornings, we're going to be back in just a moment. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a tribute that you'd like to pass along to Bill, a way of saying thank you, you can give us a call at 877-933-2484. Minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, along with Neil Stavem. Of course, the Faith Radio morning team of Logan Rausch and Paul Perreault. We're just so excited to have you tuning in as we're in a season of transition and change at Faith Radio. Been privileged to be a part of this team for almost 10 years now. Came in 2009, so a little over 9 years. And so exciting to see how Faith Radio has grown. But, Neil, a part of that is change.
You know, it happens more than we probably want, right? I don't think anybody really embraces it, probably.
No.
But it's when it happens, we can look back and see how, God is in the midst of all of it. I think that's the good news, right? He accomplishes plans and his purposes and in his ways, and maybe not our ways. But we're thankful for the part that Susie Larson has played in the strength and the encouragement for so many listeners of Faith Radio, and now that she has stepped aside, then we're anxious to see what Bill Arnold will do in the afternoons as well, and we're going to certainly miss him in the morning.
Yeah. I think back to some of the early iterations of the morning show, and we really did try to find our way and all of a sudden discovered Austin Hill. And yeah. I remember when Austin joined the team, it was such just an exciting new day for Faith Radio. He brought a great perspective. He had an unusual approach to the morning show, and his guest list was massive. He had some A-level guests that he brought with him that he would talk to on a regular basis, and some of them we're still talking to today. I think of Dr. Richard Land and Alex McFarland and others. But he introduced us, and I thought for sure that we were going to have a long tenure with Austin. But unfortunately, he passed away, and was a shock to all of us. And then eventually leading us to Bill Arnold. So I do believe that while change is hard for any of us and all of us, it is a part of God's purpose and plan. And we'd like to take just a few minutes today to field any questions that you have, any comments or concerns, or maybe you'd like to share a tribute to Bill, maybe what you've appreciated about his time on the Early Morning Late Show. Surely a unique title, one that no one else can own.
No, that's true. And, of course, you know, Bill has great experience being working late at night oftentimes and then coming in the morning. And he had that great blend of interest and a passion for news and deeper faith, as well as just the natural ability to do it in a winsome and fun way. And so we certainly will miss his presence in the morning. And I know that we've heard from many listeners already who just appreciate him so much. If you do have a comment or maybe want a little tribute to Bill, we'd sure love to hear it at 877-933-2484. And, of course, we're looking forward to him stepping in the afternoon as well and bringing that that same energy and enthusiasm there. So in the meantime, you and I, Dick, we'll work our way through the mornings, get you up and going.
Well, I am looking forward to it. I do love our listeners in the early morning. It's a joy to whenever I have the opportunity to fill in or be a part of Faith Radio Mornings. It's been a lot of fun. So, Neil, two weddings and an anniversary over the last 10 days. It's been a busy season. Our daughter Jody, as many of you heard or know, got married on Memorial Day Sunday. And I now have a son-in-law. I've never had a son-in-law before. Love my daughter-in-law. She's great. She's easy to get along with. And then this past weekend, we were up north in Nisswa, Grandview Lodge, my nephew. And his fiancée are now married. And then Jane and I celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary on June 2nd as well. So my nephew and Jane and I celebrate the same wedding anniversary, just a few years apart.
You've had a busy a few days here reflecting on love and life together.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, 39 years. And so
good for you.
Thank you, Jane. Appreciate you. Love you. And grateful for that anniversary accomplishment. Next year, 40 years.
Yeah. So what? Sherry and I just clicked past 42.
Did you really?
Yeah. So just Memorial Day weekend too. In fact. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, so you guys married young.
We're still young, except we're not really. But
so how do you have a son-in-law? Because you have how many children?
I have three children.
Two boys and a girl.
A daughter and two boys. So yeah, and all three are married. And so yeah, we got a couple.
So how is it different being a father-in-law to daughters versus son? Now, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah. You know, I think you have a different relationship with the son-in-law, I think, because, you know, I don't know if I speak more directly. I think I'm just always wanting to be supportive and encouraging for my son-in-law, because I think he has a big job taking care of his wife and my daughter. And grandkids, of course. So, but daughter-in-law, I think I want to just show the same love to her that I do to my son. So, you know, I think as you know, too, you love them. They become part of the family. But we just actually this weekend spent a little time with my daughter and son-in-law and had a good conversation. The kids actually were kind of busy doing some other things, so we could actually sit down and talk. We had some tea and talked, and it's like, wow, we don't do this nearly enough. When there are grandkids around, it's all about the grandkids for me anyway, so I don't get a chance to talk. But, you know, appreciate his hard work, and my son-in-law is one of those guys who just knows a little bit about everything, it seems like, and can talk clearly and directly, which is always fun. So we have great conversations whenever we have them. So.
Well, good. You can call and give me some advice, too.
I don't know if I know any.
877-933-2484. We're going to talk for a few more minutes about Faith Radio, some of the direction we hope to some of the news that's coming out and very exciting. We'll tell you about in just a moment. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. It's 15 past the hour. If you'd like to be a part of our conversation this morning, 877-933-2484. Past the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, along with Neil Stavem, Logan Roush, and Paul Perreault, making up the morning team for the next few days, weeks. And thank you for your prayers and your support and encouragement. We really appreciate hearing from you. We have Lisa. Lisa is listening to FM 104.7 FM in Madison. Lisa, good morning. Welcome. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank Bill for waking up so early all the time and providing such a broad base of interviews, and his questions were always very, he just had a way of asking the right question and then being graceful and loving, and I just appreciated all the people he had on regularly and his interviews. So wanted to say thank you to him and thank you to you for having him. And I look forward to listening to him in the afternoon, but I'll miss him in the morning.
Well, I think we all will. I know Dick and Jane Whitworth were two of his bigger fans. Lisa, if I can, are you listening to 104.7 FM?
Yes.
Oh, has it made a difference for you in listening?
Yes, it's. I became a Christian by listening to early teaching radios years ago through Moody. I was in Iowa. And so I've craved having teaching. I love the music, but how I became a Christian was through all the teaching I heard on the radio. So I'm just so thrilled to have that on the radio and for people to just maybe be scanning the radio and come across all the great programming.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your call this morning. We'll make sure that Bill learns of your sentiments and encouragement. I know it'll mean a lot to him as well.
Lisa, appreciate that that call. Think about, you know, as you said, he's broad-based but also graceful and loving. I think, well, that is really, I think, at the heart of what we're trying to be at Faith Radio day by day. You know, have that wide range of perspective, but there's also that hope of the gospel that comes through it all. And so thank you for that reminder. And Lisa, I know I'm excited that you have found strength and encouragement through the teaching programs. And we think about that often, too, about those that may just be scanning across the dial, that they'll hear the good news of the gospel. And we've seen that happening more and more, I think, as we've, of course, had opportunities to expand our signal strength and outreach, you know, as in Madison, going from the AM 1190 to adding 104.7, that's made a significant difference for listeners in the Madison area. And you know, we've added the new station in the Bismarck, 89.1 FM. So excited about that recent opportunity. And there's more to come. So.
Yeah. We have Bud from Ham Lake on the line. Bud, what's on your mind or your heart today? Good to hear from you.
Well, I just enjoy listening to you guys. Love Bill. He's funny and educational all at the same time. And I've been listening to you guys for over 40 years. And I got both of you guys beat. I've been married for 46 years on the 10th.
Oh, congratulations. Well, that's great. Thank you also for listening to Faith Radio for 40 years. That's encouraging. Do you remember how you found the station?
I think I heard about it at church, you know. Hard to remember exactly, but I think that's where I heard about it when it started.
Well, that's true. You know, you're probably our Neil and my age, and so we understand that. That's
hard to remember anything, yes, clearly. So,
well, yeah. Bud, we appreciate the call, and thank you for sharing with us. Like you, we're going to miss Bill, but you can hear him this afternoon at 3 if you get a chance.
Yeah, I listen most of the time. I drive a truck, so I listen early morning and afternoon, so all day long, in and out.
Well, Bud, God bless you. Thank you for your call, and we appreciate your encouragement.
Well, and, you know, if you can get funny and educational at the same time, that is a good combination, yes. So,
877.
I don't know if we've been able to do either over the years. But
probably not. 877-933-2484. Neil, you were talking about some FM opportunities. 89.1 in Bismarck has really been a great addition to the Faith Radio team. I am happy to report that a little later this summer or maybe early fall, we have a new FM signal destined for Fargo, and we're excited about that. That's really going to be covering the Fargo-Moorhead area. Should be, I think it's 102.5 FM.
102.5, yeah.
And we're also waiting on some news at the FCC for Sioux Falls. We did apply for an FM signal there as well. It is temporarily hung up in some FCC litigation, those kinds of things. It just takes a little time to get through the process. I always say the government has two speeds, slow and slower. And we're, along with a lot of other FM applications, kind of stymied for a few days, maybe weeks, but should be hearing something a little later this summer about Sioux Falls and also some other opportunities coming down the pike.
It does give us the resource to be able to provide great programming, Faith Radio, not only on AMs but also on FMs in each of our markets. So Fargo and Sioux Falls being the last two, they can get that FM frequency in there. That'll be a nice addition to that signal, and we're grateful to be in each of those markets and to hear from so many of you that listen and know that soon you'll be able to hear that that FM signal, which is, of course, always clear and no issues with reduced power at night, any of those things.
For those of us who occasionally listen to AM radio, we don't understand the fuss, perhaps, but the reality is about two-thirds of the radio listening universe never goes to the AM band anymore. They just simply don't. Many of the younger listeners, the millennial generation, never visit AM radio. So having access to Faith Radio on the FM band has just been exciting and encouraging. Many people like Lisa are looking for teaching and encouragement and conversations where literally helping you apply your faith to life every day, which is why we exist. And being on the FM band has just been a great encouragement to all of us here at the station. And we trust you as well.
Well, I know this, as we mentioned, you know, it is a season of change for us here at Faith Radio, and we thank you for your prayers and your understanding, and believe that, you know, God will continue to develop and grow the ministry and provide encouragement day in and day out. People are connecting faith to life every day is what our goal and our prayer is. And so thank you for your support and encouragement and your kind words to Bill, and we're remembering Susie as well, and we're honored to be able to bring you this great programming every day.
All right, 25 past the hour. Breakpoint is up next. Thanks for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. Minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, Faith Radio Mornings. We're going to have a chance to discuss some of the North Korean happenings with Dr. David Aikman coming up after the news, and also enjoy just really getting a chance to talk to Dr. Aikman as well. He just has such a unique perspective. News is next on Faith Radio Mornings. 34 minutes past the hour. Ron Deal, author and founder of Smart Step Families, was recently a guest on Faith Radio, and he talked about roadblocks for blended families. And he said this: Ron offers these guidelines for people that are dating and considering getting remarried.
Some general guidelines for dating couples is slow down. You know, if you're ready to get married, your kids are probably 6 months to a year behind you. So you might just ponder that a little bit. What does that mean? How do we listen to them a little better? How do we bring them into this process? It's a complicated process, and helping people think through that is really important. Again, I'll say it. Before the wedding, the couple's level of satisfaction is often tied to their dynamic between the two of them, what's happening between you and me. But after the wedding, it really is tied to the whole family, step-family picture. And if you're ignoring that before the wedding, you're setting yourself up.
That's Ron Deal, author and founder of Smart Step Families. If you'd like to hear the entire interview, it was actually done in 2015. It's on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you will put into the search bar roadblocks for blended families or Ron Deal, you can find it there. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Dr. David Aikman.
You've got rules at home. You enforce them. And when one of your children crosses the line, they pay the consequences, right? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. If you're in a family, you deal with discipline issues. But I want to take just a moment to remind you of what's behind those rules and consequences. The root of discipline is this. Mom and Dad, you are helping your child get to a place he wants to be. And you're keeping him from a place he doesn't want to end up. Next time you find yourself buried in the nitty-gritty daily details of enforcing rules at home, there's a purpose behind your actions. And discipline, combined with relationship, leads to a really good place.
Check out the articles, books, and parenting tips from Mark Gregston, available online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Dr. David Aikman, our foreign correspondent in Bray, Ireland. Dr. Aikman is a regular guest on Faith Radio Mornings. And, sir, we welcome you once again to another discussion. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be on.
Well, Dr. Aikman, we do love and appreciate you, and I'm sure you've heard by now that Bill is moving time slots to our afternoons, 3 to 5 Central Time, 4 to 6 Eastern
right.
Time, and so we are in the process of doing a little fill-in. My name is Dick Whitworth, and it's always a joy to listen to you, and even a greater privilege and honor for me today to have a chance to chat with you, Dr. Aikman. For those of you maybe joining us for the very first time, we lovingly consider him our foreign correspondent because he really does have a great handle on world activities, a former journalist, author, professor. You were at Patrick Henry College, is that correct?
I was, yes, for 10 years.
For 10 years. Dr. Aikman, I was thinking of all of the different hats that you've worn through your life. Do you have a favorite? Did you enjoy, was journalism your first calling? I know you were teaching for 10 years. Did you have a favorite time or season?
Yeah, journalism was definitely my favorite professional activity, and because it took me to so many fascinating places when some extremely interesting global events were taking place, and I am very grateful for the blessing of having had that opportunity.
That's very exciting. Well, sir, let's get to it. I know today, for many of us, the whole conversation of the summit with North Korea coming up later this month, is it on? Is it off? Can you kind of bring us up to speed? And what's your opinion? Do you think they'll actually meet in June?
I do. I think the meeting will go ahead. I think President Trump has made that pretty clear. And the fact that the close advisor to Kim Jong-un arrived with a very sort of augustly sealed letter, which stated in writing his commitment to hold the summit, indicates that the North Koreans are very much on board as well. So I, you know, barring any absolutely unforeseen incident in the next few days or weeks, I think the summit will definitely go ahead.
Did you ever think in your lifetime, our lifetime, that we would see North and South Korea sitting down to a table to talk about these kinds of matters?
Well, to be honest, there are a lot of events that have happened in our lifetime, at least yours and mine, cumulatively put together, that I never foresaw. For example, the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe and then eventually in the Soviet Union and the emergence, well, at least within Europe, of democratic regimes. That was completely unforeseen by most people, I think. And so I had not anticipated that we would see such emergence of such remarkable diplomacy between Washington and Pyongyang as has happened since President Trump took office.
Do you know, he has, speaking of President Trump, he has certainly blown in the sense of what our historic approach to negotiations for these kinds of matters. And yet he was really dealt a difficult hand. I mean, whether you liked President Obama or not, clearly North Korea was a boiling pot and ready to spill over. And for him to not only walk in and to engage that with his particular personal style, again, like it or don't like it, it's an amazing place that we're at. Do you agree?
Well, I do, but I think that is a characteristic expression of, in fact, what I think is one of Trump's most brilliant qualities, an unforeseen ability to forge agreements in places where you didn't think they were possible. I mean, if you consider his decision to take the American embassy to be headquartered in Jerusalem, that is something that the Congress voted for again and again in the 1990s, and neither President George W. Bush nor President Obama went along with that, and President Trump said, let's do it, and he did it. So I think there's a decisiveness there that is really rather refreshing and very effective.
Some say it's hubris, but I think it's I think it is refreshing that he's literally stood up to. I think of the Iran, agreement that he has essentially walked away from. I think of the the environmental agreement that he walked away from that all thought we would for sure be involved in. He certainly stood up and taken us a different direction.
That's right. I mean, he's very much a man of his own judgment and experience in business. And don't forget, the book he wrote, The Art of the Deal, spells out in very clear terms the way he negotiates deals with different people. Very unpredictable, except that there's certain things that are likely to happen before a deal finally comes to fruition. And I think we're seeing that in the case of the Korean summit later this month.
Dr. Aikman, as you think about the trade tariff and some of the conversations taking place with China, what is your perspective or feeling on that? Are we in a good place? Do we have any leverage or hold the upper hand? Or is what's the potential for backfiring?
Well, the issue with China is significantly different from the issue with Europe because, as you know, President Trump has threatened to impose sanctions not just on China but on Europe for the same problem of dumping aluminum and steel and other products in the United States in a way that very unfairly targets American business. So I think, you know, negotiations between China and the U.S. have technically come to an end. But I think China actually has more to lose if it continues to refuse to limit its exports to the United States. So I suspect that the Chinese actually will come around and negotiate. In the case of the Europeans, I just don't know. I mean, I hope that does not emerge a trade war between the U.S. and Europe, which would indeed be very destructive. But I think there are areas where the Europeans and the Chinese can compromise, which will essentially play into what President Trump talked about in his complaints about negotiating difficulties that the United States faced in both Europe and China before he was elected. So he's essentially fulfilling his election promises.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy today to have Dr. David Aikman with us. He's a regular guest on our morning show, and so appreciate his insight. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the changes taking place in Europe, specifically the new Spanish prime minister, the appointment of a new government in Italy, that and more, and how it affects us here at home. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, 45 minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, Faith Radio Mornings. Our foreign correspondent, good friend, Dr. David Aikman, is on the line and talking about a whole host of issues. And certainly is the replacement of the Spanish prime minister. Sir, could you elaborate what's taken place in Spain? There seems to be considerable turmoil.
Yes, what happened is that the government led by Prime Minister Rajoy was turned out and the socialists came into power. And the interesting thing is that Prime Minister Rajoy was the Spanish leader who emphatically rejected and opposed the attempt of Catalonia to become independent, to declare independence from Spain last year. That led to a real government crisis and temporarily for the imprisonment of Puigdemont, the Catalan independence leader. So this has been a real significant change, although the Spanish Parliament has warned the incoming Spanish president that he shouldn't play footsie with Catalan and he shouldn't let up on Spain's rather severe approach to the independence campaign by Catalonia. And of course, in Italy, you've got a government composed of a meeting of the coalition parties that succeeded in scoring very well in the recent Italian election. And those parties were, you know, they were both from the left in general and also from the conservative right. But the general mood seems to be to completely oppose the decision by the EU to insist that certain members of the European Union, which of course include Italy, play host to large numbers of immigrants who have drastically changed the nature of European society since they started coming into Europe 4 or 5 years ago. So there's a real sense of a backlash against EU control in Europe that amounts to some people feeling that the EU actually is rather vulnerable to a breakup in due course as people object to the policies that are imposed from Brussels.
Sir, as we talk about Catalonia, and I was thinking of this as you were speaking, I'm aware of their desire for independence, but what are they hoping to become? What are their concerns, and why do they want to pull away from Spain?
Well, I think a lot of it is sort of a resentful nationalism over the way that the government of Generalissimo Franco, the dictator who ruled Spain for several decades, imposed on Catalonia when he cemented himself into power within Spain, because Catalonia had been a major component of opposition to the regime that he eventually established. And so, in a way, he punished Catalonia, this is what the Catalans feel, for their opposition to his movement to power. So it's significantly a resentment, and also it's a feeling that the Spanish government doesn't consider the various significant economic opportunities that come to Spain as a whole from the productivity of the Catalan area.
Sir, as we news happens, it just seems to be things happening so dramatically in our world. It wasn't that long ago, and yet it feels like a long time ago. The recent vote for abortion in Ireland, a predominantly Catholic nation. Do you know offhand how many evangelicals are represented in Ireland? And you may not.
That's a very good question. I mean, we have to say that committed Christians, both of Roman Catholic background and a Protestant background, are a small minority in this country. And as the referendum vote showed, about 68% in favor of changing the constitution to legalize abortion, the majority of the country certainly seems to have become secular in a very predictable way about moral issues. So the pro-life people are going to have to fight a very strong battle to recover from this setback.
Because of the historic connection to Catholicism in Ireland, was this a shock to you, or was this fairly common knowledge that a vote like this coming down would be that supportive of allowing abortion into Ireland? What's your thinking on that?
Well, the tragedy of Ireland is, from a Christian point of view, and most Irish people, Catholic or Protestant, will agree with this. The Roman Catholic Church had an absolute stranglehold on Irish culture and life, often in a very repressive way, added to which it was riddled with moral corruption. There were clerics who were abusing children, especially younger boys, who were allowed to be moved from parish to parish, even when the complaint of abuse had actually surfaced. So there's a feeling that the authorities of the Catholic Church in Ireland really betrayed the whole country in their behavior. So the Catholic Church as an institution has very little authority in this country. And so the hope is that somehow, amongst the Protestants, the hope is that they can focus on life issues and other moral issues that will draw the Irish back to the role that they had as a country propelled by the Christian gospel for so many centuries following the original evangelization of the country by St. Patrick many, many centuries ago.
Dr. Aikman, thank you again for your time with us. We really do appreciate your friendship and your willingness to join us every other week or so. Your insights are appreciated, and we do appreciate your friendship.
Jake, thank you very much for having me on the program.
God bless you, sir. Have a great day, and we'll be back with a little bit more as we wrap up today's edition of Faith Radio Mornings. Seven past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, Logan Roush, Paul Perreault. Thank you, gentlemen, for your help today in, what is a transition, a new day at Faith Radio as Bill Arnold, our host of the Early Morning Late Show, moves to, early afternoons. 3 to 5 today will be his inaugural broadcast. Hope you get a chance to tune him in. Logan, did you hear about this? The people in Vermont want you to move there.
Really?
Yeah, they're actually willing to pay you $10,000 to move there and work remotely for an out-of-state employer.
Wow. You know, Scott Walker's trying to pull millennials over there, too. Am I just getting job offers from everywhere? Dick, you're going to have to sweeten the pot over here
soon. Sweeten the deal, are we? Well, we have beautiful weather.
A few
weeks out of the year. That's really what we like to promote around here. Yeah, they're going to pay $10,000 over 2 years. They have 100 grants of that $10,000 for the first 100, and then they're going to add 20 grants per year after that?
Well, it's a good thing we're ending. I got something I got to do real quick, Dick. So unrelated. Yeah, you know.
You got to pack. Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. We'll be back again tomorrow. Looking forward to chatting with you and bringing you some news of the day, information that we hope is relevant, helpful, and hopeful. And thank you for praying for Faith Radio as we're in this season of transition. And be sure and check out Bill Arnold this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.